Yura was going to join us. Davida may as well. She always wants to join us. And Leia's cooking at the same time.
I understand. There's Phyllis.
There's Phyllis. Hey there. I'm here in beautiful Kansas City. Hopefully this works. Okay. This is the Shiur this week on Parashat Bo. Is mostly based on Rav Yehuda Kopperman, who was the founder of Michalala, I quoted before. He's got the Kedushat Peshuto Shel Mikra. He talks about what the Pshat of Mikra is, the Pshat of the text is, and what do we do with that? We know the Halach is according to the Drash, then what's the point of the words, the text as it is? In the eyes of classical Mepharshim, and he has his own approach as well. And this talking this week's Parsha, Moshe warns Paro about Makat Bechorot coming up. Firstborn Gedai, they're going to send us out. First one. And all of your servants will come down to me, and they'll bow down to me and say, you and all the people with you need to leave. And then I will go. And then Moshe leaves in a huff. With great anger as he walks out of Paro's office. And Hashem tells Moshe then, Paro's not going to listen to you, so that I can increase all of my wonders in Egypt. Moshe Baron Asu, and Moshe and Aaron Asu, that's the past part, had done. I call Moftima Ela all these wonders with Paro before Paro. And Hashem hardened Paro's heart, and didn't send Bnei Israel out. So that's the summary of what had happened up to this point. Moshe Aaron Asu, they had done this. The question is, why add that last line? By the way, Moshe and Aaron had done all of these plagues, and Paro didn't listen to them, and Hashem hardened their heart, and they didn't send them out. We know that. We've been paying attention. You've seen the movie. Why add this extra line here that summarizes what's happened so far? So Rashi asked that. He says, Moshe Aaron Asu, and Moshe and Aaron had done. The Torah already told us all of that beforehand. We knew this. Lushan An, he didn't repeat it, Khan, in this place, Ela Bishvil L'Somcha L'Parsha Shalachra. It's relevant as an introduction to the next Parsha. That's why we're saying this now. It's important to know that Moshe and Aaron had done all these motim on the command of God. Why? Because the next parsha, the next paragraph in the Torah is the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Okay? It's by source 3. By Yomar Hashem and Moshe ve'Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor, Hashem told Moshe and Aaron in Egypt, saying, Achosh le'lachem, this month is your first month, and you should take Mishchu k'lachem tzon, and everyone has got to go take their sheep. You're going to bring the Korban Pesach. That's the next parsha. What's the connection to the previous introductory pasuk? So both of them are Moshe or Aaron. That's what Rashi said. Yomar Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron. Hashem told Moshe and Aaron, Mishfil she'Aaron asa v'tarach b'moftim k'moshe. Because Aaron was part of the mako that had come beforehand in terms of the actually risking their lives. Obviously, Hashem's going to save them, but going before Paro and saying, let my people go, or I'm going to do these terrible things, and going out there publicly doing the acts that embodied those makod. Moshe and Aaron both did those. Therefore, chalak lo kavod zeh, the mitzvah rishona. Therefore, Aaron got the honor of being part of this first mitzvah. Sheklo im Moshe b'dibur, that he was part of the speaking, that God spoke to both of them to give them this command. So by Yom Hashem and Moshe ve'el Aaron, usually the time Hashem's talking to Moshe, this is El Moshe ve'el Aaron as a reward to Aaron for being part of this. Problem with that, Rav Kopperman points out, is that doesn't seem to be true. There's a tradition that Hashem gave the mitzvot to Moshe, not to Aaron. And we see that in the first pasuk in Vayikra, where it says, Vayikra El Moshe ve'eber Hashem elav, to him, may Omoed Limar in the Omoed. Rashi on a love, quoting from the Sifra, a love is Lamaid et Aaron. That the a love, by Hashem, a love, Hashem spoke specifically to him, even after it said by Krael Moshe, point out that it's not anyone else. It's excluding Aaron explicitly. Rabbi Huda Omer, Yugimil Dibrod Namra Batara Moshe Aaron. There are 13 times where the Torah used the expression Bayomer Vadaber Hashem El Moshe El Aaron, like our parsha, like our pasuk here in Bo. 13 times. Kenegda Namru Yudgimel Miutin. And corresponding that there are 13 times where the text specifically has a mute, has something that minimizes it. Says it's only to Moshe, El Moshe specifically, or similar language. Rashi gives the list there. Lamdecha teach you to Lola Aaron Nemra, that even when it says El Moshe El Aaron, it doesn't mean it was given to Aaron. El Moshe Sheyomar La Aaron. Really, Moshe is one who got the mitzvot, commandments, and then Aaron was part of that because Moshe told it to Aaron first, and then Aaron both told it to everybody else. That's the understanding of Vayomer Hashem El Moshe El Aaron, according to Rashi.
Is the background? Oh, there's Ruthie. You just muted. Good. I think someone was talking there. No. I hear.
Talking. You hear probably about yes. Yeah, so the talking in the background is my son-in-law who's giving a class at the same time.
Oh.
So maybe more interesting than mine. So we're gonna I keep my ears open. It's like learning in base medrash where you've got lots of conversations going on at once. So hopefully this will work out.
So much Torah.
I know. I'm trying to do this right. And hopefully the internet keeps both of us on Zoom simultaneously, which is another problem. You don't have in the traditional base medrash.
Wait, I missed the beginning. Are you in Kansas City?
I am in Kansas City, yes.
And you have a daughter and son-in-law who live in Kansas City?
That's correct. That's why I'm in their apartment.
Okay.
So Leah and Aaron Rubin live in Overland Park, Kansas.
Oh.
And they have a son, 2 years old, his name Eitan, who's very cute.
Oh, okay.
So we came to Kansas City to see the grandkids, and by the way, their kids are here too. This is the way it goes, you know that, right? Okay, so we are here in Kansas City, and he's talking in the background. So hopefully it won't be in too much. But so we have this idea, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Aaron, Hashem told Moshe, as we understand it, because that's the way the Torah is given, and Aaron was part of that as a reward for his work with the... In doing the makot. However, the Taz, the Turei Zav, David Siegel's 17th century, major commentator on the Shulchan Aruch. He also has a commentary on Rashi called the Divrei David. He's very bothered by this. Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe el Aaron. Im Kain, if that's the case, well, Ezet Tzorach Nimshach Aaron im Moshe, Pesukim Niskar L'Naan. Then why say it as Vayomer Hashem Moshe Aaron in these Pesukim? The Shutatfo B'Shpil Sheyia Shutatfo L'Shlif Yisrael. And it's to be his partner in teaching it to B'nai Yisrael. That's why Aaron is mentioned here as Moshe's partner, that if they're going to send it, they're going to say this together to B'nai Yisrael. That's what the Mizrahi commentary on Rashi says. But must be. That's not enough. Yesh chasur shalom sheker b'lashon haTorah. Because then the Torah is lying, right? Again, this is this. Pshat says Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, and we're saying no, he didn't do it. Right? Very strong language. Sheker b'lashon haTorah. The Torah is lying to us. What does that mean? She'amra she'adibur l'moshe l'aaron. And Taz is very bothered by this. He doesn't think that if it really was to Moshe, to say to Aaron, it should have said that. We like the Emor, right? Emor, Allah, Kohanim, Bnei Aaron, etc. So this is the way that Taz answers that. Said that when the Pasuk actually says, Vayomer Hashem, El Moshe, El Aaron, must mean there must have been some kind of communication with Aaron as well. Some kind of divine message. But we all know that this is a fact. There's a difference between nevuah and ruach. Of course, there are levels of nevuah, levels of which are the way Hashem will communicate with human beings. Moshe is at the highest level, asbak lara meira, panim al panim. Other nevim are lower levels. So, medragat hanevuah, himala yoter gavol mat ruach kodesh, and certainly there's this nevuah, there's ruach kodesh, and divine inspiration, somewhat lower level. So the way the Taz is going to understand this, so when it says that Moshe had the communication with Moshe, with Aaron, to both of them, those 13 places. And Inyan, the idea was she Aaron Ra'a came Ruach HaKodesh, that Moshe got the Nevuah, and Aaron got the side stream Nevuah. Could had some sort of message that Moshe was getting the message, not being addressed directly to. So that way I can say, yes, but Moshe is the one who, it's specifically to Moshe, but clearly Aaron is was part of that as well. Ella Shemosh, I said, hey, I see a problem with optical character recognition. Ella Shemosha hai ta lo mala nevuah, that Moshe had this level of nevuah, and Aaron at a lower level called Ruach HaKodesh, or Moshe had the Asplaklara Meira, Aaron had the Asplaklara Sheino Meira, Aaron had a lesser level of understanding what was going on. Clearly, if the pasuk says that, must have been part of the Vayomer Hashem. They knew what Hashem said. But Moshe's was at a higher level. The Moshe got the real thing, and Aaron this was called a side stream. Right? He's listening in on a conversation. He was allowed to listen in on the conversation that Hashem had with Moshe. That's what this idea is.
The Barzillo. Danny, how many people can say that?
You. We'll talk about it. You're one of those people who can say that.
Har Sinai.
Oh, Les got it.
What'd you say?
He said Har Sinai.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
That becomes
individually, not Bahar Sinai, but individual. Okay. Not too many people can say that in Ruach HaKodesh.
That's true.
Even if it's lower than Moshe.
Yeah, I mean, again, this the Rambam's like 10 levels of Nevuah. I don't know how far down we would go, but I mean, I don't know. Have you ever felt the point where you were inspired?
Many times.
Okay. I would give that credit in somewhere on that dial. Okay. And of course, Moshe's Nevuah went up to 11 on the dial scale of 1 to 10, which Leah knows what that means. Okay, they said the Dabar Zeh Lomdim Mi Koach Hagigim Miutim She Mini Rashi Ktzat Mehem She Bemoneh Rashi Ktzat Mehem, and this idea that's the what Rashi is saying is these 13 times where it excludes, it's a mute to say only Moshe got the Nevuah. That's what we learn from there, that it's not complete excluding. If the Torah says Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Aaron, Aaron was part of it, but it wasn't the primary target of that. So there's this idea that one Navi can get a message about someone else's Nevuah and kind of hear his way in. That there's a halacha that's relevant to that. And that comes from
the speakerphone.
Yes, so everyone else is listening can hear a side of that. Or you're, okay, so I had to explain to my children what a land or party line was when we're talking about being on the phone. The idea is that you can pick up the line and you're hearing somebody else's conversation. So that matters for halacha. So the Gemara Sanhedrin, Mishnah Sanhedrin, it talks about the laws of a Navi. And then if you disobeying a Navi, you're chayav mita. And then there's a category of laws that the Beit Din doesn't convict you for, but you're punished by Hashem. One of them is a kovesh et nevuato. If you get a message from God, and God tells you, go and tell this other people, and you don't do it, then you're chayav mita b'yedei shamayim. Classic example is Yonah. Okay? And Yonah runs away and he's nearly drowned and he's saved and eventually does give his message there. But you can't be kovesh at nevuato. You can't try to suppress your nevuah if you have a divine mission. There's an opinion though, the Gemara, that source 9, a kovesh at nevuato lo keh, that someone who suppresses nevuah gets mako, as it is punished by Beit Din. So Gemara asked on that, how can you punish somebody for being kovesh in nevuato? How do you know that someone has a nevuah that they're suppressing? So Amar Leh, so they said to him, man da achil tamre ba'arba lalaki, someone who eats dates straight out of the collection bucket, can that such a person get makot? The metaphor is that you're not checking them for bugs and you're probably eating a dozen worms while you're eating your dates straight. But you still can't get makot because no one's seen you do it. You have there are no witnesses to it. There's no one who's giving you hatra warning not to do it. So same thing with the kovesh nevuato. No one knows that you've had this nevuah. Mayan Matrile. Who can give him hatra? Who can give the person a warning that you can't do this if you don't know that he's doing the avera? So kovesh at nevuato is something that a nevuah is coming. It's completely private, it's intensely private. How can someone else know? So the answer is Amar Abaye. Abaye said, "Chavrei nevi'ei." Other nevi'im may know that someone has gotten a nevuah. This idea that I can, that a nevi may be told about. This is not Rav Korperman. Rav has said similar things. This is from Rav Korperman. Says Amar Abaye, because it says in famous pasuk in Amos, "Lo yaseh Hashem Elokim davar ki im galas sodo el avadav nevi'im," that Hashem will not do anything without revealing to his servants the nevi'im. Hashem, it's entirely possible Hashem will let other nevi'im know that there is a message to be brought by this particular navi, and therefore you could argue that it's possible to go to a person and say you're guilty of being kovesh at nevuatoch, that you have suppressed your nevuah, because other nevi'im, that they may have that message, that side stream message, they may have known that. They may allow other nevi'im to be the witnesses. And so as Leah pointed out, that's why we accept the laws of the Torah, because we were there at Har Sinai. That's the Rambam. But Ma Yamina Bo Moshe, Mamar Har Sinai, why do we believe Moshe when he comes back and says, I've got, you know, the movie, I have 10 commandments. Bell Brooks, okay, Phyllis knows the movie. I can't see anybody else's feedback. Okay, he comes down, he says, I have all these commandments. Why do we believe him? Normal Navi, it's only to that generation, someone has seen the witnesses to say it, to see the signs that Navi did to believe in a Navi. Moshe is eternal. Why? Because Huni Gashal Arfel, he went to darkness, Bakol Medaber Elav, and the voice spoke to him. But Anu Shomim, that's the bottom line. We were listening in on this conversation. Moshe, Moshe, we would hear Hashem say, Moshe, Moshe, Lechem Or Lahem Kach Lachach, they'll tell him, here's all the rules. You know, Omer, that's what it means. Panim, panim, diber Hashem imachem. Hashem spoke to you face to face. Not literally to you, it was to Moshe, right? That I will speak to you. V'nemar, v'lo'at avateinu karat Hashem b'rit hazot. It wasn't for our ancestors, it was all of us. Minayin shemamar Sinai levado, hi ha-ri'i el nevuato, ha-ri'i el nevuato. And how do we know that Mamar Sinai is the proof of Moshe's nevuah, that is, that we're mechayev l'dorot, that is the Torah that we are still obligated in. She emet, she em bodofi, that's true without any contradiction. Shemar, hinei enochi ba'elecha ba'avanan, Hashem tells Moshe, I will come to you in the thickness of the cloud. Bavur yishma ha'am dabri imach, so that people will hear while I am speaking to you. And exactly this model, that we know that Moshe is a Navi, because we were there listening to it. And therefore they will believe in you forever. To be clear, that before this, beforehand, that they didn't believe in Moshe, even though it says, they believed that Moshe was a Navi, but that didn't have the status that would establish rules that would last forever. A Navi can only give you a harat shah, something that's for that moment. The Torah was different. That when Moshe previewed before Mamar Har Sinai, you could have questioned, you could have said, was it really true? That when that nevuah doesn't last. This that lasts because we were there witnessing. So that's what we're looking at here at Mamar Har Sinai. That's what we're saying that happened with Aaron here. Moshe's getting this one commandment. And again, this is not a Har Sinai commandment. This is L'dorot. This is not the mitzvah L'dorot. This is the mitzvah for right now. So Moshe is the Navi, people can believe him, and Aaron is there participating to say, I was witnessing that Aaron, yes, Moshe got this nevuah. I know you were there. And this is what he was told. And so Sorna says that the connection then with the Makot, the reward for his Mesirat Nefesh and participating in the Makot, was to be part of the continuation of the Moktim. That the connection between Pesach and the Makot is that the laws of Pesach are the permanent record of those makot, of all the efforts he went into. This is Sephorno. Amar, he's saying, Shabiyot HaKel Yiparach, Omar Amar Moshe. Hashem tells Moshe, Shetama HaKvadat HaLev Shahid El Paro, the reason for the whole hardening Paro's heart and all the ethical questions that are said about that, It was to allow Hashem to do these incredible miracles, to see the greatness of Hashem. The way it says, "V'yadatem ki ani Hashem," you will know that I am God, both to Bnei Israel and to Paro, and to the Egyptians. V'lashlim kavanatozot, and in order to complete this intention, Hashem's intention in doing the makot, Moshe Aaron yachdav tasku lasot emotim, that Moshe and Aaron together will do this. Aaron will be part of that, even though Moshe's kind of got the fancy stick. Aaron will be part of his staff. Make a bad pun. Lachen ata, that for now, kasher gazara keli barach lanisha Mitzrayim. So this final punishment for against Egypt. And all of this, v'chol zeh b'zevach ha-Pesach. And all of this becomes, this is the reason for the Pesach, that we all remember this. From then on, all of these, the miracle. No. My wonderful daughter, it feels bad that I'm sitting on this little chair here and getting me a wheelchair.
T-self is like, oh, you're so
come, come ruin, as it says.
Above your waistline.
I'm sure everybody else gets this, where your kids are lecturing you about your health.
I'm not lecturing
you. See, let's tell me, I'm sitting in this little tiny chair. It's very bad for me. Okay, well, I'll survive. But Varti v'keti, Varti, I will go in Eretz Mitzrayim v'keti, and I will strike the Egyptians. Eshesh shvatim, I will do judgment in their God, ufasachti, and I will skip over their houses. That's what Pesach is all about. This mofet. And that's why the mitzvah was given to Aaron and Moshe together, because the mitzvah of Pesach really is part of the makkah itself. So Aaron gets this, the privilege of being part of this. Moshe dadlu yachdav l'shivat Mitzrayim b'tshuva. Interesting approach to say that they're trying to get Mitzrayim to do tshuva, to let the people go. L'arod b'nei Yisrael, teach b'nei Yisrael. So that they will see the final fruits of their efforts together. And that's the famous comment of the Midrash Rabba. You start a mitzvah, we allow you to finish it. So Aaron started the task of bringing the makkah, of bringing Hashem's message to the Egyptians and to Israel. So we were saying you can be part of this at the final step as well. There's another side of that we tell Aaron that you are going to be the witness to Moshe getting this first mitzvah that's given to Bnei Israel. Because Aaron had been a Nabi before all of this. We know that. It's not in the Torah about Aaron's role there, but it's mentioned elsewhere. We see in Shmuel when the Nabi comes to Eli to say, you and your children have destroyed what the Mishkan means. It's going to be destroyed. Your lineage is going to be wiped out. That message by Avo Yishal Kim El Eli, the Nabi comes to Eli by Yomer Elav and tells him, Komar Hashem, thus saith the Lord. Haniglo nigleti al beit avicha, I reveal myself to your ancestors. Yotam Mitzrayim beit Paro, when they were in the house of Paro. So the Eli is a Kohen, the descendant of Aaron. Hashem is saying, I reveal myself to your ancestors way back when. And Rashi says on that, this is where we know the hint that Aaron was a Navi in Egypt. He's called a Navi, where we see his Navua. This is this over here. Umay Navua, what was he telling Bnei Israel? What was his message? B'shenemar and Yechezkel, it says, B'omar lehem, that Yechezkel says that back in Egypt, I told Bnei Israel, Ish, she could say enough, Yishlichu, that you need to get rid of all your shikutzim, your avodah zara. Gulei Mitzrayim al tidamo, do not become impure with all the idols of Egypt. But Bnei Israel were worshiping idols in Egypt, and we have later messages that they were told to stop that, and they didn't listen. So we have that the only mitzvah they had was Korban Pesach and Mila later. So Aaron was a Navi in Egypt, bringing this divine message. But as of right now, when Moshe comes in, Aaron is fired. Aaron will no longer be the bearer of the divine message to Bnei Israel. He's got another role. Moshe is the one who speaks on behalf of Hashem. Aaron is now the Kohen. Part of that's the Avodah. But there's another part of being a Kohen, which means being keeper of the Edut. Right, that's what the Luchot are called, the Edut, the first Sefer Torah, gets put into the Ara and to the Aron as well. That's what a Kohen means, being the keeper of this Edut, being the witnesses to what that revelation were. And we see that at the end of the Torah, when Moshe writes the Torah down, Torah 15, Vayichtov Moshe at the Torah Zot, Moshe wrote down this entire law, Vayitznah el HaKohanim b'nei Levi, and he gives it to the Kohanim. Who are carrying the Ara, according to Zignei Israel, and also to all the elders. The Kohanim are the ones who keep the actual written Torah. And that's why, if you look at the bracha that Moshe gives to Levi, it's got two parts. It's got the Avoda, it's also got the teaching part. Levi Amar, to Mechu Rechel, each of Tzedecha, you have the Urim Tumim, Asher Yisrael Masa, etc. Yoru Mishpatechel Yaakov, that you are going to teach your laws to Yaakov and Torah to Israel. You, the Kohanim, are going to teach the law, the Torah to Israel. And you will bring the Ketoret and the Olot and the Korbanot. Again, two halves of the role where the Kohen is supposed to be. And it also explains why. Again, Devarim, that the Kohanim were part of judgment. It says that when the Torah talks about establishing the Yerushalayim as this one centralized place of worship and putting the Sanhedrin, the Beit Din there, ki aflimim chadavar, that when you don't know the answer, where you're confused, l'mishpat, in judgment, ben dam l'dam, ben din l'din, ben nega l'nega, between tamei tahar, Nagot, the Remi boat, or any kind of disagreement, and you need the final court of appeals. You go to that one place. And you go to the Kohen and the Shofet. The question is, what is the Kohen doing there? I understand why you go to the Shofet that's there, but why do I care about the Kohen? And they will look into it and they'll tell you what the Mishpat, what the ruling is. Etc. So this was, and it always kind of bothered me. I never quite understood that. This is from a book by Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Bar Ilan, who's the son of Meir Bar Ilan, who's the grandson of the Netziv, the first Naftali Tzvi. So Meir Bar Ilan is the one who Bar Ilan University is named after. And he wrote a book early on in the state of Israel called Mishtar Medina B'Yisrael Al Pi HaTorah. But how do we establish a Jewish state according to the Torah? Huge two volumes. Unfortunately, it's available at the Eretz Kamda site.
By the way, Danny.
Yeah.
Rabbi Tzvi Magenzi wrote a book about all the halachas for Eretz Yisrael.
The Magen Tzvi, yes, I have that. My father-in-law, Lava Shalom, actually got one of those copies of that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's got the sponsor.
What, really? Zadie had a copy. Hi, I'm here.
Hi there.
I have a copy. I don't think my Hebrew is good enough for it, but
I have a copy. I have used it. I think I've used it once in the Chumash year. But yes, we have a copy of that.
Well,
so the sponsors are all St. Louis names.
Of course.
You know, it's like it's got Raskus's in there and Fredman's and all that, so it's very familiar. So
Make Aliyah, but it was pretty late in his life.
Yes, yeah, so as a side point, Tzvi Magenzi's story is fascinating because he had lived in Israel. Came to get a degree in like chemical engineering in the U.S., got a temporary job in St. Louis, and that temporary job at Beth Medrash HaGadol lasted for 50 years.
Yeah.
Nitziv's grandson? Not the Nitziv's grandson, right?
Nitziv, no, that's Magen Tzvi.
Okay.
that's Tzvi Magenzi.
Okay.
We were just mentioning that aside. It's just kind of unrelated to this. This is Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Bar Ilan. This is his name.
Okay.
The way he understands it, that im yaflimi bet din shebeir, that if the local court is doesn't have an answer, davar kashur nusach hamikra, that the question is, what is the text say? Torah Shabbat, what is the right way to read this? Then it's vatel kohanim alaviyim. Because the kohanim are the keepers of the Torah Shabbat. They would say, this is the authoritative text. They're the ones who are keeping it. The original text, the Torah, is there in the Aron. They have that parata, and they're the ones who can tell you this is what the actual Torah says. We need to know pshat. We need to see the actual text. That's what the Gro of the Kohen. It's keepers of the text. That's what the Pasuk in Devarim is about putting the Aron, giving the Torah into the Aron. They mibaru et nusach hamiduyak al pi sefer hamunach ba'azara, and they can tell you what the actual text is. That's one part of understanding the law. Bring Malachim.
Yeah, clarify what's written.
Right, there are two sides. One is the interpretation. So you have the Kohanim and the Shoftim. The Shofet, the rabbinical side of it is the understanding, you know, this is what it means, this is how we're going to implement it. But the actual text, that's the sort of the conservative side of it. That's what the role of the Kohen is. And we see that here, by Yom Chilkiyo Kohen Agadol, the famous story about Chilkiyo who finds the text of the Torah, Al Shafan Sofer, Sefer Torah, Matzati Beit Hashem, I found a Sefer Torah. Or Eber Bavli Chagiga, that he quotes the Gemara that says, Im Misaf Golach Milta Ben Negaim, Ayin Bekrai, that you need, if you need to know an issue in Negaim, strictly in Tzorat, that goes to Kohen, that's when you have to look into the Karai. And that word Karaib was taken by the Karaites to mean those who only looked at the written text, Torah Shabbatah, didn't believe in Torah Shabbatah. But in terms of the Gemara, the Karai were the Kohanim, the judge Negaim, because they were the ones in charge of the Mikra. And we know that the Torah says the Kohanim are the ones who look at Negaim. Again, the Karai was the one who had the Kra. That was the Kohen. But if you're trying to understand the Torah Shebal Peh, then Alehem Nifnot El Shofet. That's what the Shofet side of it is. So again, we have this role of the Kohen as the one who is the bearing the witness. He is the keeper of the Edut of the revelation.
Okay.
That's Sinai. And this Amira, the Aaron right here, this first mitzvah, is the beginning of Aaron's role in that sense. There wasn't anything written, but Aaron could say, yes, these are the words that were told to Moshe. This is what we're supposed to do. Moshe can have the sense of Torah Shebaal Peh, here's the meaning of it, the actual, the underlying, the constitution, as it were, the text of the constitution, that's in the hands of Aaron, as of this parsha. And that establishes his roles as for the Edut of the future. And I wish you all a good Shabbos.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you.
Have fun in Kansas City. Enjoy your family.
Thank you.
Good Shabbos.